Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As always, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I've heard you say that unfortunately, most sermons are forgotten almost as soon as the listeners reach their cars to drive home. Is that true?
Is it true that I've made that statement? Or is it true that most people forget sermons very quickly?
Well, I guess we'll say both. Is it true that you said it, and is it true that they forget?
It's true that I've said that many times. I'm guilty of that, okay? And it is also true that people forget sermons much faster than anybody dreams possible. I've called that the sermon-sucking black hole. Between the pulpit and the parking lot, there's this black hole that just whoops up sermons and they're gone, never to be remembered again.
How can you be so sure of that?
Because I've talked to people. I've asked countless people, you know, what was the sermon about last Sunday? Whether that's my sermon or somebody else's sermon, I'm mostly interested in mine to see whether people remember. And fortunately, a lot of times people do remember almost exactly what you said, because I preached to be able to make sure people will answer the question. But as far as, many times I'll say to people who are in other churches, what did your minister preach on this Sunday? Oh, he's very good. That was really good. It was funny. Let's see now what. And then the little bubbles will start to come out after a while. And they cannot pull that thing back for love nor money. So I'm not even shaken one little bit in terms of whether or not I'm accurate in that statement that people forget the sermons. Now, are there exceptions? Yes, there are wonderful exceptions. And you and I have talked about those preachers who we remember what they said after it was said. We can find those people, but generally speaking, around the church world, the preaching is relatively ineffectual.
Maybe it would be helpful for our listeners to have an example. Can you think of an example of a situation where you experienced this very phenomenon where the sermon has just gone poof?
I have lots of illustrations. I went to hear a minister the other day speak in an area nearby where we were. And I knew him, but I had never heard him preach. And because a friend told me he was there and said, I'll come by, pick you up, we'll go listen to him. I said, you know, I would really like that, because I like this individual as a person, the person who was going to speak. And he was interesting. He kept my attention the whole time. He was very likable. There was nothing he did that was distracting. I would say he had a good vocabulary. He was obviously educated. His message held together. His use of the text was fair. And I would also say that when he finished preaching, it made no appreciable difference to his audience whatsoever. It was just down the tubes, that's all.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, if this minister had asked you for advice, what would you have said?
I would have said what I say to everybody, you know, way back in the sermon preparation process, figure out what your subject is. I could not figure out what his subject was. Dean, it was like a string of devotional thoughts. Uh-huh. Here's a devotional thought, here's another devotional thought. They did not connect whatsoever in my head. I think they may have in his head. I don't know, but in my head they didn't. And when I asked the fellow who picked me up, I said, what did he talk about? You know, and the fellow struggled. I mean, this was right after the service was over and we were driving back. He said, well, he gave me different illustrations of what he said, but I said, no, what's his subject? What was he passionate about in terms of wanting us to do by way of response even? I don't know, he said. You know, and basically I said, you end up and you like him very much and you say, I'm glad he's a Christian, you know, but as far as preaching, it was ineffectual.
You've got me intrigued now. I'm fascinated by this. What was his text?
If I told you his text, because it was a little bit obscure, okay, there's just the outside chance, because he knew I was there, that he might be able to put two and two together. I don't want to do this. It was a Pauline epistle text, okay? But I'm not going to say any more than that.
When you said obscure, I was thinking of my life's verse, at Parbar westward, forth the causeway and two at Parbar. That's not really my life's verse, but I did stand up in college and say that was my life's verse one time.
What happened? Did you get nervous?
No, I said it because I thought it was funny, and I still think it's funny, but I'll tell you something interesting.
Okay.
Many years later, I heard someone preach an excellent sermon on that verse. And so then I realized it was kind of silly and foolish and childish of me to do that.
Not to do that anymore.
So All right, so we're not going to, I thought if you tell me the text, we could look it up and come up with a subject.
Okay, let me give you an alternative text.
Okay,
we'll
let's
do
that.
Okay, this would be, this is probably more clear a text than what this gentleman used, but let me pick the text in, because I think it's appropriate and I've thought about this a lot lately, a text in Philippians chapter 4. This says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by, you know the text I'm in already, everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, okay? So say he was preaching on that text, all right? Then I would say to him very early on, figure out what is your subject, okay? And I would say the subject is, you know, people worrying about things.
Yeah.
Now, is that an appropriate subject? Do people worry about anything? You know what the biggest worry people have today is in terms of America?
No.
I read this. It's retirement. They wonder, will I be able to retire? Will I have money? Mm-hmm. It's gone up way, way high compared to where it was, say, like 20 years ago. So that's an appropriate text because worry is a big thing. Now, what are people supposed to do by way of that text in regard to their response? Well, they're not to worry. They're supposed to present these matters to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the text is saying, don't worry about anything. Instead, present these matters to the Lord. Leave it with the Lord. And this peace that passes all understanding is going to be a part of who you are. So that's the subject and the response in terms of that text, okay? Now, the question is whether or not people are able to do that, and then you as the minister have to say, okay, this is how you give it to God and let it stay with God. And I think that, you know, now you're asking, is that an easy thing to do? No, but that's at that point, that's where your listeners are going to get very, very interested and either say, yeah, I can do that, or otherwise I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've got the subject, you've come up with a response, and the bulk of the sermon is going to be the how-tos.
Yeah, which is saying, okay, God, I'm deeply troubled about my retirement. And, you know, a lot of people are because it's in the media all the time now. And what am I going to do? Well, you're basically going to say, I'm not going to ignore it, God, and I will do everything I can. But at the same time, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to stew or fuss on this. I'm going to say, this is where things are. I'm giving it to you, and I will try to work with you. But as far as the worry part, you're going to take that, God, because we're working in tandem on this problem, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't chew you up inside all the time. In fact, when it comes up in conversation, you're basically saying to yourself, you know, God, you and I are working on that, and you're taking the bulk of the responsibility. You know, I could worry about retirement. You could probably worry about retirement, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
but at this point in time, it's not something I do. It's not because I'm frivolous or whatever. It's just saying, God, you know, things have happened, and now this is in your hands. So far, we've done very well. I commend you. It hasn't been my great doing, but God, you're doing well, and I'm going to continue to rely on you. I had an operation a while back, and how in the world am I ever going to pay for this? Because this is huge, and I went in, the doctor happened to be a Christian, knew me. He said, I'm not going to charge you. The hospital cut back their fees way much. And in fact, I ended up paying like less than three figures. You know, I was like $80 or something when it was all over, and it should have been a whole lot more than that. But God worked in a very special way.
Yeah.
So,
and it was indeed God's work.
Mm-hmm.
Someone listening to our podcast might ask, David, do you ever hear good sermons?
Oh, Dean, thank you for asking that. I hear a lot of good sermons, okay? I hear more bad sermons than I hear good sermons. But there are certain ministers, yes, they're wonderful, and they don't happen to be name ministers sometimes. They're mm-hmm. just good local pastors. And I hear good sermons, and because I think it's good doesn't mean somebody else does. But yes, a lot of times. And if that was the end of the story, I would say I can go to heaven and be happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the end of the story. If you ask me, do I hear a lot of bad sermons, what am I going to say?
Yeah,
the honest answer is I hear a lot of bad sermons. The sermons that are like the one I referred to, they were good devotional thoughts. They were stories, told a lot of stories. But when it was all over, I don't know why he did that, you know. And it's basically, I don't know basically. I can't judge what happened in that gentleman's case. He was educated, but he had a system that wasn't working for him or the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's all over, we just want to say, I enjoyed listening to you. You know, that's not the end of what sermons are about. Sermons are to move people from point A to point B. You know, this is the way Christ wants us to live, and we're always nudging, always moving forward. You know, always saying, did you just hear what I said and then ignore it? Or like Jesus, did you hear and obey? Because that's when you build your house on the rock, and when the storms come, you're going to stand.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is very directive in his preaching, which I think is what we should be as well.
So what would you say is the subject of our talk today?
Well, I can put that into a sentence, but you know what I did? I always write it out and I gave it to you. Do you have it written down?
I do.
Effective. So if I say it out loud, you may forget it, but if I have it on paper and give it to you, you got it in front of you, so it's even more likely that you're going to retain it. A lot of times, Dean, I script a lot of my sermons when I go to places, and I say, if you heard it or you want to double check it, I got a copy of what I said. You're welcome to take it. Now, most of the time, you would think people wouldn't pay any attention whatsoever. The truth is I'm printing off more of them because more people are taking them than I anticipated taking them. What does that mean when I say more? Is it percentage-wise like 10%? No. I would say that probably we're talking 25, 30% of the people want a copy. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, that means that has value because they have to go out of their way to get that.
Effective sermons have both a clearly identifiable subject and a doable response. That's okay. What we've been talking about.
Hey, that's good stuff, man.
Indeed it is. Thank you so much for being with us for this podcast. We want to invite you to go to our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have lots of resources there, and our intention is to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We also want to invite you to join us again when we meet at our next podcast.